Sometimes when we're singing songs, I like to look at when the song was written, because it kind of puts us back into a very different period of time. For example, the song we just finished singing was written about 1917. And in the second verse, it says that we sit alone at eve and dream the hours away. And I was thinking to myself, we really don't do that very much anymore. We're so busy with television and radio, with songs that we can listen to on the internet. And, you know, the situation is very different today than it was in 1917 because of all the technology that we have. And for some people, that has led them away from the relationship that they ought to have with God. A lot of people today are so busy with technology that they don't have time to, quote, dream the hours away. They barely have time to even pray or read the scriptures or talk to one another. And so times have changed, and yet we haven't changed. The same exact needs are still here today as they've always been. And so the inventions that have been created over the last 150 years, they can do one of two things. They can draw us so much closer to God, give God so much more praise and adoration if we see them properly, or we can become so enamored with them and so enamored in ourselves that we've been able to put these things together that we lose sight of God altogether. But the reality is that God made this possible. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, we are told in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28 that his intention, even before sin, his intention for man was that he would fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. So all of the things that we have today are simply revealing what God made possible. And so when we use electricity, we should be praising God, because God created electricity, and God created electricity in such a way that we could use it to subdue and take dominion. And so for me, every time I have an opportunity to use technology, instead of it drawing me away from God, it draws me ever closer to him. Because how can you use the things that we have today without glorifying and praising and honoring him? We didn't do it. He did it. We only figured out how to do what he made possible. And so it's really, I think, very important to think about that. Think about the dominion that we have. We have dominion over hot and cold now. We have a refrigerator to keep things cold. We have a heater, we have a stove, we have a microwave to make things hot. We also have dominion over light and dark. We can flip a switch and we can have the whole room filled with light in a way that was not even possible 150 years ago. We have dominion over travel. Because God created this oil, you know, we didn't make oil, God did. God created oil, God created natural gas. And God created the ability to spark that natural gas. He created the electricity. He created the elements that we use, the copper, the minerals, the chemicals. God made it possible. Every time we get into a car and turn on the radio and put on the cruise control and turn on the climate control, shouldn't we be praising God? Shouldn't we just be in awe that God made this possible? That through our mind and through his creative genius, this is all possible. Dominion over distance. We can talk to anyone and see anyone. It always amazes me. Sometimes Prince, who lives in India, he'll say, I need to talk to you face to face. We push a button and we're talking to each other. We can see each other. I can do the same thing in Malawi. Actually, we can do it anywhere over the world. We have a dominion. You know, it used to be somebody got on a ship and you hoped you'd see them. You knew they were going because they'd sent you a letter. You'd hoped that you'd see them in maybe 2 or 3 months. Sometimes they never came. We don't have that problem. If something goes wrong, we can call. Or we can get on the computer. What's going on here? Why is this late? We can figure it out. Rob has an app on his phone. He can see every plane that's in the air right now. and where they're going. It's incredible what we can do. But God made it possible. And instead of allowing that to cause us to drift from God, these things should be cementing us to Him. Oh my God, how great Thou art. You know, we say that when we see the material creation. We see a sunset, we see a beautiful flower, we see the birth of a child, and then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me, to Thee, how great Thou art. But what about all of these things? We have dominion with the internet, with the television. We have dominion over information. And we have dominion over pain, disease, injuries. It's incredible. The advancements that have been made. And instead of focusing on these things, we need to allow these things to draw us nearer to God. And so that's not really the direction I wanted to go in this lesson, but I kind of wanted to start just by giving everybody an opportunity to really think. Is our technology and our tools and our focus on all of the creature comforts, are they drawing us near to God? Are they neutral? Or are they pulling us away from God? When Jesus said that the cares of this world and the desires for pleasures and the desires for other things choke the word, that would certainly apply to a lot of these things, but it doesn't have to. If we're smart, instead of dreaming the hours away like people used to do, we can focus on the things that we have and praise God for them. Because that was God's original intent. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Now, he's presenting or posing an interesting question here. The question is, when I look at the sun, the moon, the stars, and the magnificence and the tremendous greatness of God's material creation, where are we in all this? I mean, compared to the sun, compared to the moon and all the stars and the earth and all of the amazing things that God has created, where does man fit in? And then he answers the question. You made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Let's just stop right there. You look at the sun, the moon, and the stars, and you look at your own heart and soul and abilities, God says it really revolves around you. These are just things. I made you like the angels, just a little lower than the angels. I have crowned you with glory and honor. That's what we just finished talking about. Thomas Edison did some amazing things, but you know why he could do that? Because God created electricity and elements, and gave man the ability to work in his image and likeness, and crowned us with glory. Edison just figured something out. And so have all of the other inventors and creators that, again, have brought what we have today. But God says, let's go back and look at something fundamental here. All of those things are only possible because I crowned you with glory and honor. You have made him, man, us, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Now you see what this man is doing. This man is doing what I just finished talking about. As we look at the technology in our world today, as we look at the amazing abilities that God has given to man, it does draw some people away from him. But it wasn't designed for that. That's simply what man has done. If we look at this, let's just kind of summarize this. The vastness and greatness of God's power in creation. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be there to watch God work on each day of creation? to see the waste and void and dark creation quickly take form until on the sixth day God makes man and says, "This is all yours. I am giving it all to you. And I have created it in such a way that you can subdue it." Now, whether they figured it out or not, I mean, we talk about recorded history, and recorded history is just a minor part of all that has happened on this earth. Man may have figured all this out before. So I don't think we should be too arrogant and say, well, we're the only ones that have ever figured this out. Maybe we are, maybe we weren't. But the point is not so much that we've figured it out, but that by seeing what we've figured out, we can go back into the original creation and we can see what God's intent was. We didn't do anything that God didn't know we could do, that God didn't make possible for us to do. And so when we think of man as a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, with dominion, and with all things under his feet. Now granted, some of that has been taken away from us because of sin. But for the most part, everything that we see every day is a gift of grace from God. And so it was God who did what we couldn't do. And as we use these things, instead of becoming arrogant, instead of becoming boastful or proud, instead of thinking that we don't need God, these are the things that should be drawing us closer and closer to him with praise and adoration every time we have an opportunity to do or use any of these things. We need to go back to Genesis chapter 1. It was God who made this possible. God crafted the power sources that we have. He created nuclear energy. He created electricity. He created oil and natural gas. He created the elements and the physics and the chemistry so that we could get our hands in and act like him. It's part of being created in the image and likeness of God. We are creating now like he created. Yeah, on a lot much smaller scale. But still, if we look at it like this, technology is a great blessing, not just for our creature comforts in our life, but to our praise and adoration for God. We should be thankful to him and grateful to him. And so every time we turn on a light or turn up the thermostat, every time we open the fridge or the microwave or the oven or the dishwasher or the garbage disposal, every time we get into our air-conditioned cars or turn on our television, computer, DVD, DVR, every time we talk on a cell phone, have a life-saving surgery or a medication that continues to allow us to enjoy life even though the dark days are dawning, every time we get on a plane and travel around or use any kind of technology, how excellent is your name in all the earth? If we just open our minds to the realization that God made all of this possible, and that God wanted us to do this. This was his original intent, intent and plan. Our relation to him can be cemented, can be strengthened. These technological things don't have to lead us away from God. If we say thank you every time we use them, and we use them in the proper perspective in which they were given, not allowing them to take us away from him, but to bring us closer to him, then the end result of all of this is going to be that the cares of the world, the desires for other things, the pleasures of life that choke the word in other people, it's like sunlight for us. It doesn't choke the word. It strengthens the word, because it's in the word that all of this is possible. And every blessing and every enjoyment that God has created within the realm that he created it can never draw us away from him, but always draw us closer to him. And so all of this is amazing and wondrous. And as I said, this is just kind of the introduction. This isn't really the direction that I wanted to go in, but in order to appreciate what we want to talk about next, we have to realize that. Because as amazing and wondrous as all of this is, we have a far greater challenge. And what I would like to submit to all of you as we shift into a different realm is that God has done exactly the same thing with the church and Christianity and Christ's power of the blood and the tools and the opportunities that he's given us in the New Testament. It's identical to what he did in the original creation. There is no difference. The same grace that brought the original creation is the same grace that brought us the gospel. The same grace that gave us the power supplies that we have in the material creation have given us the power supplies for the spiritual creation. The blood of Christ has more power than all of the atomic energy and electricity and natural gas and oil in its realm. And we have to learn how to use the blood of Christ and how to use the tools, repentance, confession, spirituality, fruits of the Spirit. All of these things we can do with the spiritual realm. What we see man doing in the material realm. Calvin got it wrong. Calvin, John Calvin, a theologian back in the 1500s, who was basing his thinking on a man named Augustine, who was a bishop in the Catholic Church around the 300 or 400 years, they both came up with the idea that the only way we could glorify God is to say we can't do anything. We're useless, we're worthless, it's all God, we can't do anything. We are so morally depraved, we are so destroyed by sin, we are so beaten down that all we can do is wait. Man is born totally depraved, Calvin said. Man is born so bad that he couldn't choose to do what was right, even if he wanted to, and so God had to pick and choose who would be saved and who would be lost back in eternity because man just couldn't do it. Does that sound like what God wanted in the material creation? Did things change so much after we sinned? And if it did, why is God allowing us to do all of these things today? If we're so totally morally depraved and so worthless and so insignificant, how can we take the electricity and the natural gas and create all of these things? And the answer is we can't. And the answer is that Psalms 8 was written after we sinned. God still has allowed. Now, I understand, and I wouldn't argue at all if you were thinking in your mind, well, it's been greatly diminished. Yeah, it's been greatly diminished, but look what we could do with it, even though it's greatly diminished. I mean, Ecclesiastes does not change the fact that which has been is that which shall be, but more importantly, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is lessened cannot be added up. Something's been taken away from everything, and yet we can still do this. And so, that last little sentence there, through Christ's death and God's creative genius, we can now take dominion and subdue in the spiritual and eternal realm just as we have been able to do in the material realm. Now, I think that's crucial for us to realize. Paul says we are more than conquerors. We are not victims. By grace, we are saved through faith. However, faith without works is dead. God expects works. God expects us to take the power of Christ's blood and regain dominion. As Paul said, we have to exercise self-control. The grace of God has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. If the gospel can't do that for us, if we're so totally and completely helpless, and the concern that I've had because I've watched this through the years is these doctrines and these denominations regarding these things Sometimes they affect us as Christians and we feel kind of like victims. I can't seem to conquer this, but you can. Just like Thomas Edison, he couldn't seem to get a light bulb to work. But he just kept working and working and working and working, and suddenly dominion came. And since then, we've increased and developed that dominion in ways that couldn't even have been imagined. And we've seen the same thing in the spiritual realm. We saw 1,000 years of darkness, 1,000 years of darkness in which nobody moved within 2 or 3 miles of their home. They couldn't read, they couldn't write. They were under the spell of the priests who were teaching them in Latin what they could never understand. And then suddenly during the Reformation and restoration, look at what we have today. Our knowledge of the scriptures was incredible. And look what it's done. Look at how the Lord's church has just become more and more and more what it ought to be. It took years. Yes, it took years from the darkness of Catholicism to the twilight of the Protestant Reformation, and then gradually moving, and the light got brighter and brighter, brighter, hard-working people figuring out the importance of baptism, figuring out how to worship, figuring out how to take the scriptures and apply them in every realm. And I think that the religious leaps that have been made over the last 400 or 500 years are far greater than the things we see in the material realm. So I look at this kind of like a parable. The parable of dominion. Let's look at the material creation one last time. Without our effort, God's gifts of grace, they just lay dormant. You know, the power of prayer is like that. If we don't believe, we're not going to get anything. James says, if you doubt, you're like the surge of the sea. Don't let that man think he received anything to the Lord. We have to learn to take dominion over prayer. We have to learn to take dominion over repentance and confession and make them our tools to bring forgiveness of sins at any time we need it. Physics, chemistry, energy, anatomy, physiology, chemistry, they were all here. We just didn't know what to do with them. Didn't know how to deal with it. Things that would have brought terrible outcomes today don't. But we didn't take dominion for centuries. We're created in God's image. Didn't mean you could just walk around and pick it up on the ground. You had to work for it. The more diligence, the more dominion we've gained. The medical field, science, technology, and Christianity. The more diligence and the more dominion, the more glory we should be giving to God. We should be so grateful to God for all of the material blessings that we have as a result of the energy and effort that God gave us the potential to do. It's just incredible. We have the ability to look back and see things and make applications because of where we sit in history. If we will learn and accept the challenge, I believe we can take the same dominion over our sins, over our weaknesses, and with the grace and the mercy of God, think about it. Could we power all of our inventions without electricity, just by our own ability? Could we power our own inventions without oil and natural gas or nuclear energy? The answer is no. Can we take dominion without the blood of Christ, without the power of God's word? Do you remember what Paul told the Thessalonians? I thank God that when you received the word of this message, you accepted it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively energizes you who believe it. There's a power source. The Greek word, interestingly enough, is energeo. Does that sound familiar? Energy? The word of God energizes those who believe it. In Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. There's another word we use all the time. It's the Greek word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. So the spiritual powers in the scriptures, based on the wisdom of God, the power of the blood, and the ability of God to understand our problems and give us the tools necessary, just like he did in the material creation. So if we will learn and accept the challenge, if we don't accept the denominational gibberish that we were just born depraved and totally and completely without any ability to do anything, and we just have to wait for God in order to take control of these things again. So the challenges are the same in the material creation and in the spiritual creation. And godly preachers and godly teachers are sifting through the scriptures looking for the technology, I hate to use that word, but the spiritual maturity and wisdom to be able to take the scriptures and do the same thing with the scriptures as these inventors have done in the material creation. Now, if we can appreciate that, then we are poised to grow. So, God's grace in the spiritual creation reads just like Genesis 1. If we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we see exactly the same points as we do in Genesis chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things. Isn't that Genesis chapter 1? His divine power has granted us all things. Everything we couldn't do, he did. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He made gravity. He made weather. He made the chemistry and the physics and all of the things we need to make and do what we do in this life. Without him, it'd still be dark and void. We couldn't do anything. Well, what about the spiritual creation? His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power. Paul made it very clear in Romans and Ephesians and Timothy and Titus that the plans for our salvation predate the material creation. It may very well be that God crafted the material creation so it could be a parable, because Christ's death was determined before the world was made. The preaching of the gospel is according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept silent through times eternal. God knew that we were going to be where we are. And yet he created the material creation the way he did, because he knew that if we would do what I've been talking about for the last, 20 minutes now, if we would just do that, be a tremendous asset to us. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us the power of the word. He's given us, in the Sermon on the Mount, the foundation upon which we can start building our house, which will never fall if we build it on those words. He has given us the fruits of the Spirit. He has identified for us the works of the flesh. He has given us the ability through the Holy Spirit to take back the dominion that sin has taken over us, those youthful lusts that we've allowed to ensnare us and entangle us in sin. And God says, I've given you the power to untangle that and to remove yourself from it. Now, does that mean we won't need the blood of Christ anymore? Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is, what we were given by grace, God would like for us to take by right. In other words, righteousness is by faith. But we've got 40 or 50 or 60 years to make righteousness our natural character. And that's what God wants. God doesn't want me to treat people unfairly and then come to Him and ask for forgiveness. He wants me to treat people fairly so I don't need forgiveness. Do we understand? Do we see the situation here? When it's cold outside, I don't have to go out and chop wood. I don't have to bring the wood in. I don't have to light a fire. I don't have to wait for the fire to get warm. I can just push a button and make my house warm. Well, in the spiritual realm, I can be freezing, dead, frozen, and yet, through the power of the gospel, that heart can beat again. You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, but He has made you alive together with Him. And so God, through His divine power, has given us everything we need to do in the spiritual realm what we've seen people do in the material realm. Because the material realm is just a parable of the spiritual realm. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. That means fellowship. That means joint participation. I can start making myself like God again. You know, we didn't completely obliterate God's image when we were growing up. Remember Paul saying, I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died and I marred my image. And we all did that. And we read through Galatians chapter 5, we find things where we agree with God 100%. I read through His list of fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and murder and strife and envy and drunkenness and carousings. And He just lists all kinds of sins. And you know, 90% of them make me as sick as they make God. I have no interest in them whatsoever. I don't need those areas to be worked on. The areas we need to work on are those youthful lusts that we created when we were growing up. And those are the things that have to be unraveled, so that we can become partakers of the divine nature. Through these, through what? His divine power and His exceedingly great and precious promises. That takes us right back to Genesis chapter 1, and once again we have a parable. The material creation is based on precious and exceedingly great promises based on the divine power of God. Be fruitful, multiply, take dominion, subdue, enjoy. You're in my image and likeness. So take this dominion and use my image and likeness to take electricity and natural gas and oil and make your life easier. Well, now we're in the spiritual realm. Now you have a divine nature that has been broken and actually killed. But when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ, we become a new creation. Old things pass away, everything becomes new. Potential. Limitless potential. If we don't get tangled up in all the nonsense that's being spoken of today about our complete inability to do anything, you can't give God glory if you think you have any control over this. Well, if that was God's intent, why did He create the creation the way He did? He gets more glory when we take dominion. And He gets more glory in the spiritual realm from those of us who have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust and are becoming partakers in the divine nature. So the essence of these words is nearly identical to what God said in Genesis. The similarities in the original creation, by grace, God gave everything. By promise and method of creation, He gave dominion. But without our effort, no dominion is given or gained. We've seen that for centuries. Man watched lightning strike. He never made the application that we could use electricity. Man saw all of the amazing things that God had done, but he never really made the application You remember the old saying, if God wanted us to fly, he'd have given us wings? Well, where does that sit today? God didn't want us to fly. It'd be wrong for us to learn how to fly. Well, that's kind of how people look at this other thing. Let's look at the scheme of redemption. By grace, God gave us everything we need. By promise and method of redemption, he gave us dominion. But without our dominion, or excuse me, without our effort, we just finished this chapter. Adding on your part, and your faith supply virtue, and your virtue knowledge, and your knowledge self-control, and your self-control perseverance, and your perseverance godliness, and your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. There are the tools. There are the opportunities for us to take dominion. But without our effort, it's not going to happen. And so, once again, Genesis 1 and 2 Peter 1 completely mirror each other. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, take dominion. That's the material creation. Adding on your part all diligence. That's our part. Genesis 1, 2 Peter, they mirror each other. We use God's gifts to take dominion. Once again, here's the dominion you can have. If these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle or unfruitful. In other words, you're busy and productive. If you lack these things, you're blind, seeing only what is near. I mean, you could apply all of this in the material creation, but that's not his point here. This is the spiritual creation he's talking about. Verse 10, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. The word sure there means putting a post into concrete and making it immovable. We have the ability in the material realm to do things like this. We also have the ability in the spiritual realm. But I want you to notice all through this, if they are yours and abound, if you lack them, if you give them more diligence, if you do these things, you will never stumble. In this way, your entrance into the eternal kingdom will be richly supplied unto you. Does it sound like God wants us to just sit and wait for him to do it all? I want more self-control, but God just didn't make me that way, and I'm waiting for him to do something. Wait a minute. Those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the crown. Therefore, run like you want to win. I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Does it sound like Paul is just waiting for the Lord to show him how to take control? No, he had to do the same thing Thomas Edison had to do, or Alexander Graham Bell had to do, or any inventor. He sees the potential, and then he makes the applications. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to what lies before, I press on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, he gave the gifts. But it's only with our efforts that we can take dominion. Without our efforts, we are as blind as those people who lived two decades or two centuries ago when they looked at lightning, or they saw oil, or they saw something that they just couldn't apply it. They were blind. Everything we can see today, they couldn't see. Well, there's no difference in the spiritual realm. Without our efforts, we're blind. So, brethren, we're not victims. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. There is nothing, there is no temptation given you but such as is common to man, and God will give the way of escape. If we can't escape, it's because we haven't taken dominion. It's not God's fault. Why did you make me like this, God? Why didn't you make me stronger? Why didn't you make me smarter? It's all your fault. No, we are more than conquerors. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? Because we put on the whole armor of God. Even though we're wrestling against a spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, if we put on the whole armor of God, we will stand But it's up to us. We're not going to stand if we don't put on the whole armor of God, and we're not going to be able to say on the judgment day, Lord, it's all your fault. Kind of like that one talent man. I knew you. Didn't want to take any chances. Didn't want to do anything. Just wanted your grace. I hit it, here it's back. But that's not what God's grace teaches us. It teaches us to take the initiative, to learn how to pray. If we don't pray well, just keep working at it. If we can't conquer a sin, just keep looking. I wrote a bulletin article on this yesterday about how as we go through these battles, we learn something. I'm not going to win the first time through, but I'm going to learn how my flesh is working and how my temptations are, and I'm going to slowly close and close, kind of like that guy who made the light bulb. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to conquer this. Now, I may not be able to before I die, but I'm not going to quit trying. I want the same dominion over my spiritual life and my abilities to make good choices. I look at people like Moses and Jesus and Paul and Peter, and I see what's possible. We have this great cloud of witnesses, just like we do in the material creation. So the material and spiritual creation was planned by God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, all things were made through Him, it was made by Jesus. And the Spirit of God was moving on the face of the waters, it was organized by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual creation is exactly the same. God planned it, Jesus came and activated it, and the Holy Spirit came and put it all together. There's no difference whatsoever in the material creation and the spiritual creation. There's power sources in the material creation and the spiritual creation. There are tools and opportunities in the material creation and the spiritual creation. So let's bring them together. Let's harmonize them. Let's let them work with each other, and let's let them strengthen each other and become far greater. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching and training and guiding us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. You know something that's going to take a lot of tools and a lot of efforts and a lot of creations that we're going to create for ourselves or somebody else is going to help us create to be able to do all of this. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We need to try to figure this stuff out and actually activate it and actually do it. We're going to give more glory to God than we are to just say, God is great, we're nothing, let's wait for him to do everything. Well, we did that for centuries in the material creation, and look what happened. So, as we wind down our lesson, the material creation and the spiritual creation, they mirror each other. The same God who lives in eternity in a spiritual realm used that to pattern the material creation and used that to pattern and bring us back so that when the spiritual creation finally comes again, we'll be ready to go into it. And that's what the gospel is designed to do. And again, that's why parables are so effective. The material dominion given when materials and energy sources are mastered by our own efforts is a perfect way for our Lord and Savior to illustrate many of the points that he wanted to make. It's true in agriculture. It's true. That's why I called the material creation a parable, because it is. It's a parable of the spiritual creation. We can understand a lot about the spiritual creation. There's no contradiction. The same God made both of them. There's got to be some similarities. Spiritual dominion is given when the materials and energy sources are mastered by our own efforts, just like material dominion. We've all seen that. Most of us who have been Christians for 20 or 30 years, we have a lot more self-control, a lot more understanding of what's going on, a lot better ability to handle aright the word of truth. So as we close our lesson, we were made a little lower than the angels. And God wants us to struggle as long as we're here to get as much back, of much of the dominion back that Satan has taken from us. And through the scriptures, if we're diligent, if we'll gird up our loins and we'll get busy and we'll work and we'll toil like these other inventors are doing, on the final day, we're going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." As we pick up the song of invitation, which will be number 263 this evening, is your heart right with God? Does this sermon resonate with us? Not the first time I've preached it here, but after hearing it before and hearing it again, does it resonate? Is this what we're doing? Is this our life? Is this how we're acting? Is my heart right with God? Have I done as much as I possibly can to get that dominion back and to use the power sources and to create the tools in my heart that God left for me? And if the answer to that is no, then we need to tell God we're sorry. We need to make some changes in our life. And make some decisions. I'm going to take more dominion. Forgive me, Father, for wasting so much time. Most of us can go home and do that. We don't have to come forward. But if there's anyone in the audience this evening who, recognizing that they have squandered so many opportunities, that they would like the prayers of the saints, or to confess a sin to the saints, or if you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, that's the greatest power supply God has ever given in the spiritual creation. If we can help you in any way, would you please let us know while we together stand and sing?